Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. And the message today is on the cross, a major principle of the cross. This is going to be a really good message. And thank you for tuning in. God bless you, saints. And with me on the line is Travis Bryan III. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me back on with you.
Absolutely a joy, brother. This cross and the mystery thereof is being made known to the hearts of God's people, a message that is pretty much basically lost, Brother Travis. Is that correct?
Pretty much lost, Todd. But the mystery is this, that through the cross, God is allowing the old creation to be crucified, and a new creation, the kingdom of God, is coming forth in resurrection, Todd. But the crux of the whole thing is this cross mystery, Todd, that God brings a new creation, a new man, a new kingdom in through the cross, Todd.
Amen, brother. Amen. You wrote a piece recently on a major principle of the cross. And that's what we're going to discuss today. Although you said, I have a power or a right against someone, I choose not to exercise that power or right in order to benefit that person, especially a person who does not deserve it. This is a major principle of the cross. Now, I love what you said and pointed out next out of Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. You commentated that although Christ was co-equal with the Father, he did not exploit that, but rather gave it up and came down into incarnation and death in order that we, who did not deserve it, be saved. That's the greatest example ever of this principle, Brother Travis, huh?
No question, Todd. That is the master story there of the cross and of this principle that Jesus had equality with God in heaven. He was God. He is God. He always will be God. But he chose to not exercise that right, not take advantage of that position, but gave it up, Todd, and came down, and was born as a little helpless baby first. I mean, can you imagine that Almighty God, the architect of the universe, became a little helpless baby in a filthy manger there in Bethlehem, lived 33 and a half years, went through everything that we have to go through. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and then went to a cold, cruel cross, Todd, to the point of death, in order to bring us salvation. So there you have it, the major principle that although he had the rights and privilege and superiority of God, he gave all that up, came down into the cross, Todd, was buried. And God honored that by raising him up and exalting him to the top of heaven, and to which everyone, every knee will bow and acknowledge that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it had to go through the cross, Todd, and that is this major principle that we're talking about.
You know, if Jesus himself had to go down to come up, how much more does that mean we do? You know?
Exactly, and that is the what I call the way of the cross, Todd. That is the way down out of our rights, out of our privileges, out of, retaliation, everything we have the right to do. We are called to give up those rights for the benefit of others and get down in order to elevate others, Todd. That's the principle.
Amen. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 is the passage that Brother Travis is speaking of at this time. Verse 5, Philippians 2, 5 through 11, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here it is. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being humbled in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Brother Travis, you also referenced 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 4 through 18, speaking of Paul's...
You know, as I mentioned to you on an earlier program a few weeks ago, these are these chapters of 1 Corinthians that used to bore me to tears, Todd. I could not understand them, and I didn't really get what was going on here. But what he's in his dealings with the churches and in his travels as an apostle, Paul is showing us this principle, and we see it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, that Paul had certain rights as an apostle. He had the right to receive financial support from his churches. He had the freedom to eat whatever he wanted to eat. He would, he could go into a house and eat food sacrificed to idols. He was freed from the law, Todd, but he chose to lay down his freedom and re-enslave himself, give up a right that he had in order to not exercise that right and benefit those around him. So that a man seeing him eat meat that was sacrificed to idols would not be so horrified and repulsed by that he could not hear Paul's message. So Paul would adapt his behavior so as to fit in, not sinning, but fitting in with his surroundings in order to preach the gospel that he never changed, Todd. And so
Yes. This
is an example of giving up a right that we have in order to benefit someone else, and especially someone who does not deserve that, Todd. These are examples here in 8, 9, and 10 of 1 Corinthians.
Yeah, in fact, in verse 22 there in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul seems to sum that up. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Does that seem like that's a summation of what he's saying in his discourse here, brother?
Absolutely, Todd, absolutely.
Amen. You spoke about how Paul's refusal to accept financial support was a status denying others regarding love. This is the law of Christ, or the law of love, as we see in Galatians 6:2, which tells us that... that speaks about the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2.
That's another good passage on this. What we're talking about, this major principle, is the law of or the law to Christ. That phrase is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 9 as well as in Galatians 6:2, Todd.
Yes, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. Now, on the passage in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul is actually establishing that those who labor in gospel are to be compensated, and yet he's given up his own right to such, right?
Absolutely. So that in no way will he offend or certainly to be offended by his right should not be, but it is a fact that many times people are offended when you ask for money.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to advance the gospel, Paul would give up that right and not ask for something that he had the right to ask for. And I'm not saying that pastors and preachers and teachers should not live on donations. That is not what I'm saying. But in certain instances, it is okay and right to give up that in order to reach somebody, Todd, people that don't deserve it.
Amen, brother. And that is quite a principle here we see in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, you spoke concerning the passage in 1 Corinthians 10 of how
mm-hmm.
Paul was freed from the law, yet re-enslaved himself in order to free others, not seeking one's own rights, is a rights renouncing others oriented love. That's interesting.
That's the cross, Todd. Rights renouncing others oriented love. That is the cross lifestyle right there, Todd, in that phrase.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, 21. Go ahead.
Now go ahead, Todd.
Oh, yeah. You cannot, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, 21, beginning there, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man
now
seek
there,
his own.
23 is
yes.
a good example, Todd. He, you know, he's been freed from the law, and he recognizes that. He does not have to observe the Mosaic law again anymore. But when you enter into a crowd of Jews and you're trying to preach the gospel, you don't offend them by eating meat sacrificed to idols. Although you're free to do that, that rule does not apply to Paul anymore. He re-enslaves himself to the law when amongst the Jews by his behavior, but that is in order to preach this gospel of the cross to them, Todd, to get that out to them. So he's giving up a right that he has. He's renouncing it, re-enslaving himself to the law for this particular moment in order to benefit these people with the gospel, Todd.
Amen. Again, 1 Corinthians 9:22, saints, to the weak, Paul said, I became as weak that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And no, Paul is not speaking of living in sin in order to win sinners.
No.
But whatever it's possible.
Todd, I think verse 24
sums
it up very well.
Yeah, it really does. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Brother, is this not the golden rule?
Exactly. The golden rule is this. Exactly right, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, inasmuch as you would that men do to you, do ye even so to them. Right, we pick up in verse 25, now 1 Corinthians 10, in this passage, Brother Travis, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all in the to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Amen.
And Todd, you know, do you see in this principle the concept of dying to self? You know, self has rights, especially in America. You know, we have inalienable rights, the right to happiness and pursuit of freedom and so forth. But this principle of the cross, this dying to self, Todd, involves renouncing of our rights many times in order to benefit other people. And so here we see embedded in these chapters the crucial truth of the cross, Todd, that we must follow Jesus and die to self, deny self, take up the cross, die to self daily in order to benefit other people. So this principle of the Bible is shot through and through. You know, I'm thinking now of shot through and through with this principle. The Good Samaritan. You see, the legalist, the priest and the Levite passed this guy by who was half dead on the side of the road, and they had certainly had the right to do that. He was unclean. He was a Samaritan. He was unclean. I'm not sure it said he was a Samaritan. And they had the right under law not to even minister or touch him. That was considered taboo. But the Good Samaritan came along and turned aside. He had the right also to pass this guy by, but he did not take advantage of that, Todd. He lowered himself, got down, and poured healing into the wounds of this man and took him to the end and paid his fee. Certainly he had the right not to do any of that, but he chose to benefit this person. Todd, you see this principle throughout the Bible. I'm thinking now of Philemon, Onesimus, and Paul. We could go over there and look at that.
Yeah.
Where Paul had the right as an apostle to throw his weight around and demand that Philemon take back Onesimus and give him freedom and all of his rights that he was due. But Paul did not order Philemon. He simply loved Philemon and gave him the free choice of what to do with Onesimus. And so Paul did not exercise his rights again as an apostle in that situation. But you see this principle throughout the New Testament, Todd, because this is the cross lifestyle, Todd.
Amen. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, where Paul is speaking of how he had asked Apollos to, some believe he was another apostle, to come and minister to the Corinthians. But Apollos chose not to at that time, but perhaps at another time. And Paul did not pull rank, if you will, or his rights to supposedly to order Apollos to go. And as touching our brother Apollos, he writes, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 16, I greatly desired, not only desired, but greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have a convenient time. Paul did not operate in control, did he, brother? He gave control over to the Lord.
Absolutely. Gave freedom to other people, Todd, and let this be a free will decision. And this shows you the mind of God. God does not coerce or threaten anybody to get them to do what he wants them to do. He gives people their free will freedom to choose the cross or reject the cross.
Yes. Is it valid to observe that God does not violate the free moral agency or the free will of mankind? Would that be a valid observation? Yeah.
When do you see Jesus ever doing that? You just don't see it, Todd. You don't see it with Paul either.
No. And he says, choose you this day whom you will serve to his own people. He created mankind with free will to love, to choose to love him or not to love him.
Exactly.
And that's the dynamic he created, Brother Travis. Am I correct in observing that? In his relationship between himself.
Yes, now you mentioned 1 Corinthians 13, but I could not find that passage in 13. Which
16,
one did you mean
12.
There on that last 12?
Oh, 16, 12.
But
yeah,
I went to 13 to look, and I see the word charity, Todd, and this is a beautiful word in the King James Version. It's really agape in the Greek, but the word charity is used when in the context he's talking about self-sacrificing love, Todd. Now, that is the love of the cross. That's the law of Christ. That is the law of love, this self-sacrificing love, which King James, when in context it means that, uses the word charity here. And that is this principle we're talking about, self-sacrificing love, that you have a right to do something or a power over somebody, you choose not to exercise that in order to benefit this person, and especially somebody who does not deserve it. Let me underline that, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and that's the picture of God sending his only begotten Son to die for us while we were yet helpless, hopeless sinners. That's the ultimate example of such saints, as is detailed clearly throughout Scripture, New Testament Scripture, and especially in the passage we read earlier, where Jesus, while we were yet without hope, came into the world to die for us and to take our place on the cross, and is now risen from the dead, coming back soon, and every knee is going to bow to him, the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, and every tongue confess. And right before that particular passage that we read, he applies this to us by saying, fulfill ye my joy, Philippians 2:2-5, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it speaks of how Jesus, being in the form of God, because he is God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means he also is divine. But he made himself of no reputation. That's a big one, Brother Travis, right there in this world, huh?
Oh, making absolutely. And we're called to that same thing. You know, self wants a reputation. We have a right to elevate ourselves in the eyes of other people and gain approval and status in the community and network everybody so we can rise to the top and be successful. But Christ made himself of no reputation. That means he was willing to renounce that right to everybody's bowing and scraping to him and become a nobody, Todd. Now, are we willing to become nobodies? Are you willing to? And Paul was the off-scouring, and his disciples were, his followers were the off-scouring of the earth to many people. He was a nobody, a nothing. But see, that's where God begins his work, is when we're made nothing, Todd, because this is what God does. He makes something out of nothing. So we have to be willing to become nothings in order to become something in God's kingdom, Todd.
And there's a resurrection freedom in that, brother. Would you observe that also, that we make
absolutely.
Ourselves no reputation, but take upon ourselves the form of a servant? In other words, we look toward other people and how we can serve them and best benefit them. And there seems to be a real freedom in that, Brother Travis.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Jesus had the right to have them wash his feet, but what does he do? He renounces that right, strips off, puts on a towel, and gets down on his knees and serves them, Todd. Now, there you see it again in that John 13 passage.
Amen, brother. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's good. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. And this message, saints, is a great one to memorize and to emulate in our lives, to put on this same mind as 1 Peter speaks about, chapter 4, even the mind of Christ. And let me read that. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You know, Brother Travis, is it not really summed up in our whole goal in life as believers? Our whole perspective is to serve God and others, not self. Would that be a summation
exactly.
of what we see? Yeah,
exactly. Serve, that. That's the heart of it right there. Self-sacrifice love, God, is the heart of this message right here.
So we are to abandon the love of self, which seems to be innate in all of us, especially in the fallen nature. And that cross comes in and crucifies that. And we cry with John the Baptist, Lord, you must increase, I must decrease. And that type of life goes forth to seek and to love and worship God with all of its heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love our neighbor as ourself. It's interesting, Brother Travis, that Satan has craftily and deceitfully sown into many members of the body of Christ this idea that you have to love yourself first. That's ridiculously unbiblical. The Bible does not ever tell us to love ourselves. Jesus said, deny yourself. Don't love yourself. That is the problem, and the reason why we must deny ourselves is because we're full of self-love. That is probably our major issue in life, Brother Travis. We've got about 60 seconds left. What do you think?
Well, no doubt about it, Todd. We are so innately and inherently profoundly selfish that we cannot even see all the vestiges of it, the tentacles of it in our own lives. That is the wonderful thing about the Bible, is it exposes the self. And God uses suffering to do that. He kind of like gold. He heats it up in a smelter, and the dross bubbles to the top and is skimmed off to leave the pure gold. And that's why suffering is so crucial, Todd, because it exposes the self life.
Amen. Jesus came not only to cleanse us from sin, saints, but to transform our whole way of thinking so that we offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And that is the cross. And out of that life is a person who loves God and loves his neighbor as himself. Amen. God bless you, saints. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Brother Travis. And feel free, saints, to avail yourself to safeguardyoursoul.com. God bless you.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, brother.